And Father, we stand in awe of who You are. And Lord, we surrender. Oh, thank You, Master. Thank You, Master. It's raining in here. It's raining in here, man. Praise God. Lord, we just take this opportunity again and repent, making room for the blood of the Lamb. We repent for every sin, transgression, and iniquity, every dumb and stupid thing we've done that's offended You in any way whatsoever. Works of the flesh, dead works, selfish ambitions, touching on the unclean things, coming in agreement with the voice of the stranger, and being entangled in the affairs of this world. We ask for Your forgiveness, Master. Wash us with the blood of the Lamb. Purge us with Your presence and fill us with Your Spirit that we may be one, so that the image, likeness, and character of Christ would be manifested in us and through us, expressing Your heart to Your people, expressing Your kingdom and Your love, expressing the anointing that breaks every yoke of bondage. Now I ask, Lord, tonight that You'd open eyes, ears, and heart. I send Your word to each and every one in this room that by the stripes of Jesus, you are made whole. In Jesus' name. In the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, hallelujah. Give somebody a hug and tell them this is your night. How's everybody tonight? Amen. Blessed and highly flavored. This is the night the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And it's a good night to die. Yes. Welcome to the house of death. Yes. Lord, we believe Your word, that Your word will not return void. We ask that You will speak to us, empower us, and impart in us revelation, fresh manna, and establish Your kingdom in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. You know, we've been talking about end time strategies. How many of y'all know we're in the end times? And we talked Sunday about an end time strategy in the area of foundation. And one of the things that which is so important in end time strategies is to be strategically positioned. Everyone say strategically positioned. One of the things that the devil doesn't want you to do is strategically positioned, because if he can keep you out of position, you miss God. Is everybody with me? Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And in this, there was King Jehoshaphat, and he was being attacked on every side. There was no way he was going to win this battle. So he went to the Lord and he sought the Lord, and the word of the Lord came to him through a prophet. And he said, don't be afraid nor be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. And one of the things about strategically getting position is what you're actually fighting for is position. You fight for position. Then the battle belongs to the Lord. Does everybody understand this? And I want you to repeat after me something that's just important. There is no victory without a fight. Say it again. There is no victory without a fight. So if you're expecting to tiptoe through the tulips without a fight and get victory, you are deceived and mistaken. There is no victory without a fight. It just doesn't work that way, because the devil is going to resist you in every area. And one of the things he's going to resist you and try to get you and prevent you is from strategically getting positioned, because you're fighting for position so that the battle belongs to the Lord. Has everybody got it? And in verse 17, it says, you will need not to fight in this battle. What does it say? Come on, everybody. Position yourselves. Does everybody see that? You will not need to fight in this battle if you position yourself. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem, O house of true ministries, total freedom, and the body of Christ. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. You know, it's amazing how many times people get swayed in the area, and what happens is they try to fight in the flesh. Are you listening? They're trying to fight the battle instead of fight position. If you'll fight for the position in the Spirit, God will battle for you. How many of y'all want the Lord behind you? How much y'all in front of you? Amen. Well, see, he's behind you as you fight. Once you get in position, he goes before you. Does everybody understand? Praise God. In verse 18, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. So how are they fighting to get in position? Worship. 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 Everyone say worship. Worship. Did you remember we were dancing around here and we began to fight, didn't we? We were doing spiritual warfare. You are now, you know what you're fighting for? Position. So he can reign on us. You're fighting for position. In verse 19, then the Levites, the children of Kohites, and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and what? Loud and what? High. Let me share something with you. Worship is not silence. I will not be silent. Worship is not silent for the religious folk out there. Worship is not silent. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord. What's the word believe mean? Follow. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be what? Established. Believe his prophets, and you will you'll prosper. In other words, as the word comes forth. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, hello, where did they go? Before the army. They weren't behind the army. Why? Because they were spiritually fighting for what? Position. You get this. If you'll fight for position in the Spirit, the battle belongs to the Lord. It's when you try to go out and battle without being positioned. Then you fight in the flesh. Hello? And saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Now we began to sing and praise the Lord. The Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. Who set the ambushes? The Lord. Why? Because the people got positioned, didn't they? They fought for position, then the Lord ambushed their enemies. How many of y'all need your enemies ambushed? Amen. Then you must fight for position. Then the Lord does your battle. So many people are looking at the battle. They're looking at the battle and all of their circumstances, their problems, the finances, and all of this foolishness, instead of fighting for position, because without the presence of God, you're nothing anyways. That's why we must be backed by the anointing. And as you fight for position, God ambushes your enemies. For the people of Ammon, in verse 23, and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. Man, they killed each other. I'd say there was a little confusion in the enemy's camp. So when Judah came to the place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were their dead bodies falling on the earth, and no one had escaped. How many of y'all know that no one's going to escape? When my dad shows up, nobody escapes. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil, they found among them the abundance of valuables on the dead bodies and precious jewelry, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were there 3 days gathering the spoil because there was so much. This is end time strategy. Do you get this? This is end time strategy. And what's the big problem right now? Economics, isn't it? The economy and everything else. Finances. You know, people are looking at their problems with finances. If you'll fight spiritually, get in position spiritually, fight for that position, God will make a way. And you'll be able to go take the spoil. Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, positioned themselves. They praised and worshiped. The anointing was backing them. I'm telling you, when you position yourself, you are able to also listen. When you are out of position, it's hard to listen because you hear too much flesh. You're on every frequency available. But I'm telling you, when you are positioned, there's only one frequency. That's why, you know, people get out of position because they begin to try to fight the battle in the flesh and not even know it. They're going after the battle instead of getting positioned. And when you are positioned and anointed, and the anointing comes and you're able to decree those things that God has told you to decree, He's fighting on your behalf. Now, one of the things that we must be strategically positioned with is people, places, and truth. People, places, and truth. Now I'm going to share with you about people. In other words, you must be strategically positioned in fellowship. Fellowship. Fellowship with people. The Bible says hang around with those with a pure heart. Bad company corrupts good habits. Be in fellowship where God is establishing you. In this where there's people is associated with fellowship. Strategically positioned. And it's also physically strategically positioned. So, people, fellowship, and physically. Is everybody with me? So this is physically positioned. You have to be physically positioned, spiritually positioned, and mentally positioned. These are strategic strategies. And this is the thing that we must understand is we must be strategically positioned. Now with people, places, and truth. The category of people is fellowship and physical. Are you with me? The category of places, strategically positioned in places. That means timing, God's timing. And that is spiritually positioning. So we have people, fellowship, physical, strategic positioning. And then we have places, timing, and spiritually positioning. Then we have truth, don't we? Strategically positioned with truth, which is revelation knowledge, and mentally. In other words, where your focus is at. Is everybody with me? So you got people, places, and truth, fellowship, timing, and revelation knowledge. in physical, spiritual, and mentally, strategically positioned. And without those areas, those are three areas that we must constantly maintain. The Bible says, make no place for the devil. If you'll maintain those things strategically positioned, the devil will not have access to you. He'll throw fiery darts and write you letters. He'll text you. He'll call you on the phone. He'll try doing SOS to you even. But he can't touch you. Are you listening? He cannot touch you. Go to Psalm 91. Psalm 91, strategically positioned. Psalm 91. Oh, now listen, I didn't tell you it'd feel good, did I? See, so you know what moves people out of position real easy, or won't even get them in there? Because they're looking for a feeling.
Or if it doesn't feel good, it must not be God.
No, no. You're just a little too comfortable. Verse 1 and 2. Read it with me. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Hello. I'd say that's pretty strategically positioned, wouldn't you? I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, and Him I will what? Trust. Now go to verse 9. Would you read it? Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your what? Dwelling place. Now he's saying, because you got strategically positioned, watch what happens. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. So if you're plagued, you better tell him to get out. For he shall give his angels charge over you and keep you in all of your ways. In their hands they'll bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And you shall tread upon the lion and the cobra and the young lion and the serpent. You shall trample under your foot. Hello. That's because why? You have been strategically positioned. I didn't say it would feel good. It's called the dwelling place, isn't it? How many of y'all know we need to be strategically positioned? This is an end time strategy. Go to Matthew 25. Matthew 25. We ought to know this one by heart. Is everybody there? Would you read it with me? Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now we know that they were virgins because they got washed by the blood. So they made place for the blood, didn't they? And the bridegroom we know is the Lord. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. And those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose, trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourself." In other words, 5 of them were strategically positioned and 5 of them were not. Do you understand this? It is important. Why? Because 5 were filled with the oil and 5 were empty. In verse 10, and while they went to bridegroom came, and those who were ready, who were what? Ready, went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered, and he said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." The wise were strategically prepared. The wise were what? Strategically prepared. Because they were strategically positioned. You cannot be prepared for the things of God unless you are strategically positioned. Are you listening? You know, there are people waiting on God, and they'll wait till they die because they're out of position. Then they'll see the Lord, and of course they'll ask Him, Lord, where were you? And He said, you missed me every time because you were out of position. Many are out of position even now. They are out of order, out of time. And as a result, they will get deceived and eventually taken out. In Matthew 16 and verse 1. Is everybody there? Then the Pharisees and the Sadducees came testing Him and asked that He would show them a sign from heaven. And He answered and said to them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red, threatening. Does everybody see that? What does He say? Hypocrites. You know how to discern the face of the sky, but you can't discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet of Jonah. And He left them and departed. Now this is phenomenally prophetic. You got to understand that. In other words, they were able to discern the physical realm, but not the spiritual realm of the events that was going on. He says you couldn't discern the signs and the times, and the signs were current events in fulfilling of prophecy. Are you listening? The signs were current events in fulfilling prophecy. You know how many people are out there, even in the body of Christ, who still don't see what's going on? They still don't see it. They just think, la-da-da. I'll just show up at church on Easter and Christmas. You know. The signs are current events in fulfilling prophecy. Let me tell you what the times are. They are associated with the feasts, the seven feasts of the Lord, according to the next feast, which is the Feast of Trumpets. They are not able to discern the signs or the what? Times. Remember, God established the seven feasts of the Lord associated with God's time and the events that preparation of His return. Has everybody got it? And we know that the next feast is the Feast of Trumpets, which the body of Christ will be removed and the wrath of God will hit the earth. What a sign. Now, I want you to look at something very careful. Because the sign He's talking about now, you got to remember the Word of God is three-dimensional. It's past, present, and future. So He was talking to them associated with time now, during His time. But He was also talking about future time. Because He said, I'm not going to show you any sign except for the prophet Jonah, right? So what happened? Jonah was in the whale, the belly's whale, right? For how many days? 3 days. Now, during that period of time, Jesus died and was in hell for 3 days, wasn't He? And then He what? He rose. He was resurrected. Okay. So what sign is God going to show the world next? The rapture, the resurrection of the body of Christ. And that will most likely happen after 3.5 years of the beginning of tribulation. Are you listening? That sign will be left for the world. Do you see the parallel between these two? It will be a sign to the world. In verse 24. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? And Jesus said to His disciples, if anyone desires to what? Come after Me, let him what? Deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for My sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? So you understand here, to deny yourself is to gain strategic position. All of this is about strategically being positioned. Again, I want to share with you, there is no victory without a fight. So we must fight for the position, then the battle belongs to the Lord. Go to 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians 10. End time strategy, strategically positioned. You know, when the Bible says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against you shall be condemned. That is fulfilled when you are positioned. It's amazing how many people quote it, and they're still getting their butt kicked. Are you listening? It doesn't mean you won't be afflicted. It doesn't mean you won't be attacked. But it means that you'll have the victory if you'll battle, if you'll fight to get position. Does everybody understand that? 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3. It says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, right? Come on, read it with me. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. And a stronghold is a memory lie. It's something that an individual has come in agreement in the mind. So where's that battle? So we need to be mentally, strategically what? Positioned. Physically, strategically positioned. Spiritually, strategically positioned. A threefold cord is hard to break, right? Right again. Are we okay? It says, casting down what? Arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Man, sometimes the devil just don't shut up, does he? So you got to muzzle his mouth. And bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. What's your obedience? Strategically positioned. I'm telling you, people are trying to fight. I don't get it, man. Well, because you ain't in position, man. If you'll just get in position, the battle belongs to the Lord. You're to fight for the position. Then you can take your authority. Everybody got it? The battle of the voice in the air. The prince of power of air, or what we call the mind in us, is a stronghold. A stronghold is basically a memory lie or a thought that will move you out of strategic position. It's trying to always prevent you from getting in there also. Remember, if you're strategically positioned, the devil can't touch you, right? He can only shoot at you. Romans 12. Romans chapter 12. Verse 1, would you read it with me? Is everybody there? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you what? Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Have you done that today? Have you surrendered your spirit, soul, and body to the Lord as a living sacrifice? If you haven't, you need to. That is a part of your daily. This is how you get in position. You must surrender yourself. You must deny yourself. These are one of the areas you deny yourself. You surrender your spirit, soul, and body. Man, I go all the way. My spirit, soul, and body, my mind, my emotions, my imaginations, my conscience, subconscious, attitude, motive, and desires. And any other thing that pops up, I surrender. As a living sacrifice. It says, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service or your responsibility. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you can what? Prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So you're to renew your mind. You're to get updated. Prove the will. Think soberly and maintain faith given to you. Does everybody see this? So you can increase in faith. But you first must surrender your spirit, soul, and body. In other words, you must relinquish yourself. Is everybody okay? Go to Ephesians 6. Ephesians chapter 6. End time strategies. Ephesians 6:10, please. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Hallelujah. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the trickery or the wiles of the devil. Did you get dressed with the full armor today, or did you skip it? Well, I only put on the helmet of salvation. That's good. You didn't get in position then. Because you can't get positioned without being dressed. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. So you think the devil wants to prevent you from getting dressed with the full armor of God? Why? He knows that you're not ready for battle. And if he knows that you're not ready for battle, he knows that he can prevent you from getting in strategic position. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with the truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all fiery darts of the wicked one. What's a fiery dart? It's a voice of the devil. And if you come in agreement with it, it becomes a stronghold in your life. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, many people stop there, but there's actually 6 or 7 parts to the full armor of God. 6 meaning man, 7 meaning complete and perfect. In the last part of being dressed with the full armor of God, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication, where? In the Spirit. That means tongues. That's why God required, it was a command from God that you be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Why? So you can get tongues, so you can get the gifts of the Spirit, you can be empowered, so the scales can come off of your eyes. And that's a place where it's a born again, are you listening? It's a born again strategic position. Or else people are still fighting for a saved position. They're still fighting for their salvation. Constantly fighting and fighting and fighting to stay saved, to stay saved, to stay saved. But there's a place where there's a difference between saved and born again. It is a strategic position. It is a state of being. Is everybody okay? And praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit or in the Holy Ghost. That means tongues. So we're to get dressed with all 7 parts, that we are complete and perfect. In 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. And verse 6. What's it say? Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Hello? That's His time, isn't it? Casting your care upon Him, for He cares for you. You know, people are battling for the cares instead of fighting for position. If you'll fight for a position, you can cast your cares upon Him. It's when you're fighting for your cares, you're battling for the cares and not for position, then your fight's all yours. And God will wait and wait till you finally start battling for position, and then you surrender the care to Him, and then He takes it and fixes it. Are you listening? Or you get divine revelation on what to do. And it's a lot easier if God tells you what to do. I'd rather be backed by all heaven instead of backed by all hell. It says, be what? Verse 8. Sober, be what? Vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking who's out of position. Seeking whom he can devour. How's he going to devour? If you're not strategically positioned, man, you're prime rib. You're filet mignon. And eventually you'll be dessert too. Because they eat you up and spit you out for dessert. It says, verse 9, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while. Didn't say if you will, it says when you have suffered a while. Remember, every circumstance is an opportunity to grow. After you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Why? So that you get in position. Remember, the devil comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. This is where you must constantly deny yourself and let God build it. Let God rescue it. You're just a battle and fight for position and then allow the anointing to fight on your behalf. Is everybody all right? Glory. But I'm telling you, so many people get out of position because they're trying to fix their cares. Hello? They're trying to fix their what? Their cares. That's why it's important to be strategically positioned physically, spiritually, and what? Mentally. So that you're in fellowship with those who can pray for you. So that you're getting the right truth. And so that you're in the right place. In Philippians 4. Philippians chapter 4. So we want to get dressed with the full armor, don't we? You know, I really believe that a lot of these, I want to say idiots, but... Well, I guess I did, didn't I? If they really got dressed with the full armor of God and were really filled with the Spirit and baptized in the Holy Ghost, they wouldn't be voting for people that murder children and call themselves revies. It's amazing to me. Why? Because if they were praying the Holy Spirit, they would know. The fear of God is not there. They have no idea. See, they can't see beyond self because they can't deny self. And their hands are filled with blood. Blood that they will stand before God and be judged for. They have no idea what's awaiting them. They're thinking they got a front row seat in the rapture when they haven't even made it to the station. Because they're not spiritually positioned. They are not strategically positioned. They are out of position. And they promote self and religiosity, which brings bondage to individuals. And want to be an example. But if you are filled with the Spirit of God, you'll know that it is a poor example. Because you carry the fear and reverence to Him. You know. You know that's not right. You know that's not God. And you know they speak out of their mind. Are you listening? And not out of the Spirit. Because they wouldn't be voting for people or promoting those things that put blood on individuals' hands. They need to get baptized in the Holy Ghost so they can get dressed with the full armor. That's all I got to say about that. Philippians 4. Now let's start at verse 4. It says, rejoice in the Lord when? Always. Hallelujah. Again, I say rejoice and let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is what? At hand. In other words, He's with you. Why? Because you're strategically positioned. But be anxious for nothing. You know, anxiety or anxiousness is fear. And it brings bondage. Satan's greatest weapon is deception and his power is fear. So when people are anxious, it can get them out of position, can't it? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by what? Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, and let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This is powerful. Powerful. Anxiousness is fear. Satan's weapon is deception and his power is fear. Fear blinds and fear deafens. It will also bring oppression. It brings discouragement. Worry. Why? Because now the individual is out of position. Remember, the battle for strategic position is fought first. Then God can move. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Is everybody there in verse 17? Let's read it together. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, I would say if that you're in Christ. Now, we know that the word Christ is the area where it's the anointed one. But it means walking in the anointing. Anyone who is in the Spirit, he is strategically positioned. He is a what? New creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, things have become new. All things have passed away and all things have become new. In other words, you are a new creation. Now, to start a new thing, you first must destroy the old thing. To start a new thing, you got to what? Destroy the old thing. Welcome to the house of death. Now, to bring a new world order, there must be disorder first. To bring a new world order, there must be disorder first to deceive individuals into one world order or one world socialism. And this is where we are at. Everything is disordered out there. Why is there disorder? So there can be a new order. Is everybody with me? Do you understand this? Now, many people don't see this. Many people do. But many don't. Not even in the body of Christ, they don't see it. They don't see about the new world order trying to creep in and take over. They don't see it. They just think it's an economic problem. And that, you know, we're going to be okay. You'll be okay if you're strategically positioned. But if you're not strategically positioned, you ain't going to be okay. One of Satan's greatest tools is religion. Oh man, he loves religion. In fact, the word religion means return to bondage. Jesus didn't come to bring religion, he came to bring a kingdom. Thank God we're under another government. I'm telling you, one of the greatest tools Satan uses, of course we know deception and fear, but is religion. Why? Because he wants to contain truth, doesn't he? In religiosity, there's that outward ritual and no inward walk. There's a difference between those who are concerned and those who are committed. There's a difference between those who are concerned and those who are committed. The ones who are committed are spiritually positioned. They are strategically positioned. The ones that are concerned are, oh,
the word ego.
They can't see correctly. They're just concerned because they're in religiosity. They are not committed. Are you listening? Uh-oh, what are we going to do? Get in position and get committed. Those who are committed will battle. Those who are concerned will watch the battle. Hello? And those who are concerned and those who are committed to do the right thing and expose the wrong. The ones that are committed will do the right thing and expose the wrong. They will exalt the truth. They won't sit by in concern. They will expose the wrong. Remember, right now, because of disorder, is the purpose of the disorder is to bring one world order. And what they want to do in this is they want to, you know, make everyone equal as distribution in wealth, don't they? I mean, that's what they're talking about. But in true reality, they are taking the wealth. And the only thing that's going to be equal is everybody be equally poor. They'll be equally poor, and the only ones that will be the wealth are those who are in the high echelon in the area of the one world order. Again, Satan's great tool is religion. In fact, people do things, even Saul, who became Paul, was religious, wasn't he? And he actually was doing things in the name of God, thinking God was with him, because he wasn't filled with the Spirit. Are you listening? See, we are right now in the area of the fight between the kingdom of David and the area of the spirit of religion. Because see, Saul chased David, didn't he? He wanted to kill him. He hated him because of what he represented and because he carried the anointing. Why? Because David was strategically positioned and Saul was out of position. And it's going on right now. And the devil hates you. Anyone who is strategically positioned, he hates you, but he'll use religiosity because he can use those who are religious in the name of their God. That's why I'm murdering people. That's why I'm blowing myself up. Of course, I'm getting paid for it. I'm going to leave an inheritance, you know. Right? So, the devil loves to use religion, and he'll start every kind of religion there is so that people can do it in the name of their God, but it isn't the true God because there's only one God. And he'll use religion in every area to get people out. You know how many people have gone from walking in the Spirit and left the Spirit? Left the Spirit. And gone back to religiosity. No longer fight for position. They were at one time committed, now they're just concerned. No longer fighters, but cowards and wimps. And they gave up their ticket. There's no more seat for them. And they'll go through the wrath of God unless they get in position. They will become a foolish virgin instead of a wise one. It is so important right now that we understand where we are and what's happening. What is going on? Acts 17. Are y'all okay? Acts 17 and verse 22. Would you read it with me, please? Is everybody there? Then Paul stood in the midst of Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.'" Man, I'd like to mail this to a bunch of people. "Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing him, I proclaim to you. God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands." So God is not in your temple. He's in the temple of the people. He's not in a temple of bricks. This building is not the house of God until the people of God come in. "Nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life breath in all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord and hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone or statues, something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance and stupidity God has overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. When they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, while others said, "We will hear you again on this matter." Go to Revelation 18. Revelation 18 and verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, "Come out of her, my people. Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, unless you receive of her plagues. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Render to her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works, in the cup which she has mixed double for her. In the measure that she has glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, 'I sit as queen and am no widow, and I will not see sorrow.'" Now this is a representation of Babylon, which is associated with the one world order. "Therefore her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her." And here it says, this is one world order system of Babylon that will rule for a short time, but eventually be destroyed. The United States has two governments. I'm going to say this again. The United States has two governments. One that is under the Constitution, and another one that is under the Federal Reserve Bank. That is two governments. And the Federal Reserve Bank that controls all economic interests and jobs, it is associated in with the one world order. Its purpose is to prepare, bring disorder so the one world order can come in, so that the dictatorship can be established through socialism. Everything is being prepared for Satan to come into the flesh. One world order. Without, now let me share something with you. Without economic power, there is no political power. Do you know that the government really doesn't have anything to offer you except for to take from you? I mean, they ain't got a job. They're not bringing any money in, are they? You're giving them the money. So they got nothing to offer. The only thing they can do is take. So without economic power, in other words, money, there is no political power. So wealth must be transferred to the new order, and it results in a dictatorship, which runs by the Federal Reserve, the one world order, the Federal Reserve Bank, which runs banking, economic or education, manufacturing, commerce, military, and media. I mean, come on, look at it. Do you know how many news broadcasters are leaving certain news places and going over to another news place because they don't like what they're seeing and what they're told they can broadcast now? Right on the news, they're telling them. I mean, man, I saw an interview last night with one of the Hugh Dowse. God bless him. He said, "Man, I'm done with this." And he was working for who? CNN. Because he was being restricted in certain things. And he didn't like what he was seeing. And he left. He's not the only one. Others have left. In other places. Why? Because you know what they're doing? They're realizing what's going on. They're seeing it. But others are not seeing it yet. And I pray that they see it before they get caught up in it. The media. In all of this, we see the difference between those who are concerned and those who are committed. Thank God we belong to an eternal order. A divine order. An eternal government. In Isaiah 9. Isaiah 9. And understand something, that it's not the people, right? It's not the individuals. It's what they don't see. Because they're demonized. You're either possessed by the Holy Ghost or you're possessed by a devil. That doesn't mean your head spins. It means you're an idiot. It means you can't see. You're bound by a deaf and dumb spirit. And you play religion and no relationship. Verse 6. Isaiah 9, verse 6. And if these people were in the spirit, they would have never put this man in office. Why? Because they don't saw what's coming. And they all need to repent because the blood's on their hand. You know, there was, who was on Martin Luther King's daughter? Niece. I'm telling you, she spoke and it was powerful. It was powerful. You know, and she comes from a culture, you know, and one of the things she was talking about her culture, she said, you know, my culture was always about the ethics of what God represented. But they got too caught up in the culture and put a man in associated with their culture and forgot to look at the ethics. And this came out of her mouth. I thought, man, this is powerful. And she says, I want to rescue my people and our culture that have been deceived. You know? And I just think it's powerful for what's going on. You know, I remember as a child and seeing, you know, in that culture, people praising and worshiping God. It wasn't in my culture. You know? But it was in their culture. And I used to, man, and see them praise and worship God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Man, I was like, man, this, you know? And when I grew up, because I didn't know too much anyways. And I respected that arena. And I thought, man, these people really know God. They really know God. Why don't we know God like they know God? So I was disappointed that they didn't fight. Because I know now. I know the truth. And I realized, my goodness, how the enemy has turned relationship into religion. What a tool. What a tool, and deceived many. And I use the word culture because I think it's, you know, light skin, dark skin. I mean, you know, I'm, what would you call me? A white Italian? You know, I mean, they call people, I mean, I'm a white Italian American or whatever, instead of what an African American, you know, whatever. I mean, I just, and unto us a child is born, verse 6. Unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there'll be no end. Hallelujah. No end. Thank God we belong to the Eternal One. And upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. I want you to go to Galatians 6. Please. Galatians chapter 6. So we see that there's a disorder, so they can bring in one world order. Now, I want you to understand that I'm not speaking against the government. I'm speaking against the deception. We'll talk later the difference between democracy and republic, but not tonight. We're going to get deep into this, man. We're going to expose the devil's tactics so we can be strategically positioned. Now, I know that in this, in other words, you talk about, we know that there's that disorder in the area of economic. But I'm telling you, there's things that we must constantly maintain in focus so we stay positioned. In Galatians chapter, let's see here, 6, thank you. In verse 7. Do not be what? Say it again. Do not be what? Deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good or sowing, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those of the household of faith. In other words, sowing and reaping. No matter what your circumstances, you should make sure you continue to sow. No matter what. It will pay off. Are you listening? No matter what you're going through, no matter what you lack, continue to sow. Remember, the widow gave out of her lack. She didn't give out of her abundance. She gave out of her lack. Remember when Elijah went over to the other widow and they were getting ready to make their last meal, her and her son, and starve to death because there was a famine. He said, well, look at man, first make me whatever you have left, make it for me. Man, you try to tell somebody that today? That dude would have been shot twice and buried. And then he would have took whatever he had on him. What, you crazy trying to tell me to give you what I got left? See, but this is something that is strategically positioned. Because the woman knew the man. Because he wasn't the man. She knew the Spirit because her husband also was a prophet at one time. Are you listening? So she gave her last, not out of her abundance, but what she had left. So he says, listen, go borrow some vessels. Don't worry about it. Just go get it. Thanks for the food. It's cool. Go borrow vessels, get empty vessels, get all the jugs you can, and bring them home, and shut the door, and start pouring oil. And I'm telling you that oil will not stop filling, and you won't stop having flour, and you can make all the raisin cakes, and open up your own store. Do you get this? Why? Because she gave out of her lack. Now, I'm not going to pass a bucket around or a garbage can and do a collection. I'm sharing you what's going on now. This is how you sow. You keep sowing, and you keep sowing. Why? Because you're sowing into eternity. You're not sowing into temporary. You know, I've had people ask me, well, what do I do about my stocks? Sell them and get out. They're going to do you no good. You're going to lose them anyways. Are you listening? Eventually, you'll have to take your money out of the bank because the bank will close. Look at the banks that are going out of foreclosure. Look at the banks that are folding. Right? That the government has given billions of dollars to. You know, if they really wanted to, you know, redistribute their wealth, they ought to give me and you the stimulus package. I could have used, you know, it equals about $30,000 a person. Each household would have had about $30,000. You don't think that would have drawn us out of an economic crisis? Probably allowed some people to still own their homes. I mean, they should have called me. I would have definitely given them counsel. I'm not shy about it. They blew it, but they didn't blow it. You understand that? This was predestined. Because we're getting ready to go home. My dad has the last say, no matter what. But see, we at least got to know the time and the signs to see where we're at, what seasons, what's going on. We got to know this, and because we got to know that, we can help others to be prepared. In Malachi 3. Yeah. Malachi chapter 3. And we'll close here. Verse 1. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. The Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire, like a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi, which are priests, and your first office to fulfill is priesthood. And purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord, and as in the days of old or in the former years, and I will come near you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against sorcerers, against adulterers, against perjurers, against those who exploit wage earners and widows and orphans, and against those who turn away an alien because they do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore you are not consumed, O house of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, and you have robbed me, even this whole nation. All those religious folks really hate the tithe. They only want to do it in front of individuals.
Hi. My money. $14.37. Watch.
Yes, I'm a good Christian. You're an idiot. You are a curse with a curse, for you have robbed me. Even this whole nation, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. So would you call that strategically positioning? So would you call someone who's not a tither or gives offerings someone who can strategically stay in position? No way.
But I know the Lord. I've been serving the Lord for 9,500 years.
I don't need to tithe. I can just watch TV evangelism. I don't need fellowship. It's me and Jesus. What an idiot. In verse 11, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. In other words, he can't steal your harvest. Nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed. How many of y'all want to be called blessed? Then you got to die. And you got to stop playing religion. Quit doing things in front of people. Quit trying to be somebody. You already are. Don't prove yourself. Don't prove yourself. That's nothing but stinky pride then. But bring glory to Him. Glory to God. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord. There are those who are concerned and those who are what? Committed. Committed. Strategically positioned. Strategically. You want to stay strategically positioned. Victory does not come without a fight. You fight for the position, and the battle belongs to the Lord. If you're hearing this message or watching this today and you've been caught up with religiosity, pull out your checkbook and die. Oh, hallelujah. But first thing I want to do is share that if anybody has voted for wrongful politicians, you need to repent. Wash yourself with the blood. Get strategically positioned and start doing the right thing and start fighting for the presence of God and the positioning. And the battle will belong to the Lord. Because He loves battling on our behalf. And I love battling for position. There's fun in battling. Praise God. You know, call some fire down on serpent heads and things to that degree. But get dressed with the full armor. Pray in the Spirit. God has granted you the gifts. Use them. It is essential in these days. The Bible says in a multitude of counsel, there is safety and wisdom. There are many people out there who don't know. They're not hearing this. They're not hearing this. They're still teaching on false prosperity. There's nothing wrong with the body of Christ being prosperous. But the purpose of being prosperous is to feed and help those who are in need, to declare the gospel, and to feed, clothe, and shelter, not to build our own empires, so that we may be ready in season and out. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank You for Your word. We are honored and blessed. I pray that the seed would be imparted deep into every single one here tonight and grow and bear fruit for Your glory. Lord, in any area where we have forsaken and not fought for position, we ask for Your forgiveness. We ask to be led by the Spirit that we be sons and daughters pleasing to You. Again, we thank You. We honor You and we bless You, and I bless Your people as You continue to draw them onto You and open ears, eyes, and heart and position them to where it's no longer they that live, but You that live. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.